2006 when I moved to Asia for the first time in Manila, and that was Franklin Graham's first time to preach in Asia. They told me that when you get through this, you come back to the States. I haven't been back to the States yet until I got to the territories here. And so this is my first time to be back in some kind of stateside experience or feeling. But it's a joy to be with you today. And I'm not going to waste time on some insignificant things. I want to get right to the Word of God. And I want you to turn to the book of Mark. I'll get there in a moment. But you turn to the book of Mark, chapter 2. And that's going to be the background. I'll basically tell the story that's involved in Mark 2. But let me begin by saying this. I get excited when somebody says, yes. Too many times in life we have, no, 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 don't do that. Don't go there. Don't say that. Sounds like the Ten Commandments sometimes exploded and done more than the Ten. I grew up with a mother, though, that said, you can do some things. You can do this. Yes, you can. And so I grew up with a kind of yes, but through my life I've even discovered more yeses. In fact, I want to begin by 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where it talks about the yes. Let me just read that. You can go to it later if you want it. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, right toward the end of the passage. It's really hard to miss. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says in this that there are a lot of promises of God. And these promises are so wonderful. The promises of God. Let me read that from you, towards you. Verse 20 of that says, for all, underscore all, the promises of God are yes. And in Him, amen, unto the glory of God, even through us. In other words, we have an opportunity to seize those same promises. I was excited when I walked into your church and saw this phrase. What? What does that say? Hello? What does it say? Can you read English? What does it say? Expect a miracle. That's what you're going to see in a very few weeks. And I want to challenge you to begin to believe that God has a yes in your life, even though you may be thinking, don't know that I can do this. Your pastor has assumed the role of I am Andrew. And he's basically motivating hundreds of people in this island through the churches, through the pastors, to sign a card. And on that card, you have an opportunity to write down a few names that you want to see, believe, dare to believe that God can save them, that God can use you to reach them so they can hear the gospel. You see, that's what's going to happen. You've got one opportunity for Franklin Graham to help present the gospel to your friend, the good news. And he'll do it in such a way that it will be very clear. Here's how you, without Christ, can come to Christ. Here's how you can expect a miracle of redemption in your life. And you can take that phrase in your church and connect this phrase and see that God says, I've got something for you to do. The rest of that scripture says, now he that establishes us with you in Christ, and he's anointed us, is God. He sealed us, given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And the background of that is the one verse, 20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. I don't know. I've heard people say that there are over 5,000 promises for the Lord in this life. I've heard some people say there are even 7,000 promises of the Lord in this life. But I know this, whether there's 5,000 or 7,000, all of these promises are for you.
Even me.
And you may be saying, I don't know that I can do what our pastors talk about. I don't know that I can talk to my friend about Jesus. Yes, you can, through Jesus. Because all the promises are yes. You say, how can I do that? Okay, that prefaces, that puts a framework in Mark chapter 2. When we find Mark chapter 2, we find Jesus returning back to Capernaum, and that's the fisher vision, the village, just on the Sea of Galilee, or some call it really a lake of Galilee, right in the northern part. I've been there 3 times to be able to see what I'm talking about, the historic area, and the digging of the area, of the homes, and the very synagogue that Jesus preached in. All of that's still there. You just have to imagine what it might look if it were fully built. But there was a fishing village. Jesus loved that particular area, and he'd been up in the northern part of Galilee, healing, teaching, preaching. I mean, he was doing what God had sent him to do. Never forget that, for God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. And Jesus was willing to say, I'll leave all of this, Heavenly Father, and go down there. And he was down there preaching and talking about how they could know the Father, how they could have a personal relationship. Not just what somebody says about him, but who he is in you. Let me stop here. I would assume that most of you are a child of Christ. But if you are, if you've never prayed a very simple prayer and received Jesus Christ into your life, I'll give you that opportunity before I'm through. You can say yes. And that's the primary, number one, essential, preeminent yes. First place, the first change of your life, the first miracle of your life is when you receive Christ Jesus. And then miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, the promises after promises after promises that you begin to see. No, there's no no in my life. I am the one who puts the no in my life. God opens the door of my life as I walk in the Word, as I live in Him, as I abide in Him. He said, come unto me, and I keep coming unto Him. Oh, yes, I want to follow Jesus. That was one of the first things Jesus said, follow me. I'll make you the disciples. Well, he came back to Capernaum. And immediately he went to a small house and began to preach. He just wanted to talk about the Heavenly Father. And as they heard him, the little house was filled up very quickly because he was a celebrity now. He's been up there. We've heard what he's done. We've heard about the healing. We've heard about the blind seeing. We've heard of, oh, wow, he's here in this house. And it was not a big village. You could take a baseball, I think, if you really had some. Oh, by the way, the Titans are playing tonight or tomorrow here. Yeah. Tennessee has never done anything. We're so surprised that they've gotten this far. And I'm going to get up about 6 a.m. in the morning and try to see my TV. Looks like, I've never watched the Titans in my life. But because they're Tennessee, it has nothing to do with a yes in Jesus. But I want to tell you, God has a yes for you. And he wants you to take that yes and walk. Now, they were in that house. The house was filling because what I was going to say was, you could take a baseball. It had nothing to do with football. But you could take a baseball, and if you're really strong, you could throw it all the way across Capernaum. Not a very big place. And there, people say, Jesus is in that house. He's right over there. Don't miss that. He's right over there. And people begin to run, fill the house up, looking in the windows, surrounded. And then the most amazing thing happened. There were 4 men who began to bring someone on a cot into this area of the house. Bold faith. And I'm I'm sure that there were some people, like sometimes we get the company of the uncommon, who would say, what are you doing bringing him to here? That's outside of the church work. That's outside of what we are listening to, they thought. No. You see, these four moved out of the uncommon to the follow me system of Jesus Christ, where he takes you and you and you and me and dares to say, I will do something in your life that you've never imagined if you will follow me. Walk with me. Abide in me. Trust me. You mean, if I put a person's name down on that form, that I might be taking one step ahead? Yeah. Just the writing of that name moves that out of your mind onto a piece of paper, which is an activity of faith. I'm praying for this person every day in my life. And I'm going to make some moves in my life to get him or her or them to Jesus. Yes, not another. Because I know that God is the God of yes. I went to the large ark that's been built in Kentucky. 2 football fields in size. Walked through it. It takes hours to go through that thing. And I was just again amazed at what somebody could do when they said, Lord, you want me to build an ark? Rain? It's never rained. What am I going to do with a big ark? Yes. Okay. Yes. You never know how big the calling is on your life until you're willing to say, God, here I am. I never dreamed I would be doing what I'm doing at 81 years of age and enjoying it and having the health that I have. But I began at 15 when I said, here am I, Lord. I'll follow you. I'll walk. I could die tomorrow, but I had a journey. I had an adventure. All because I said yes. And I don't want you to miss the yes that's in your life. Write that phrase down. Pray to God. And let's look at this. How in the world do you think those four friends, I think that's what they were, friends, got their friend to Jesus Christ? I think they were busy with their nets. I think they were fishermen. Putting fish in, cleaning the nets. I don't know, probably in the morning, so they were cleaning. And suddenly there was all this rustle of people talking about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's over there. He's about to come. And those four guys said, hey, Jesus is here. We've been hearing about him. Let's go to him. And they put all their nets back in the boats. They said, we'll get back to that later. And the four of them began to run toward the house until one of them, I would have loved to have thought that it might have been me or you, who would have stopped and said, wait a minute. I doubt if it would have been me, because I'm always wanting to do something with the people. I just go with them. But the uncommon company, is one who said, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not going to be in the common people. I'm in the company of the uncommon, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've got a mission. I have a calling. And this guy said, wait a minute. What do you mean, wait a minute? Jesus is right over there. We've got to go quickly. We'll miss it. We'll miss him. Well, why can't we go? Why? Come on, guys. We've got a friend. Oh, yeah. Our friend is paralyzed. If he could just get to Jesus could do something with that paralyzed state. But he can't get to Jesus. He can't move. He can't get up. He can't raise himself. You see, that's like a lost person. They don't know what we know. They are afraid of a building like this. They think we do weird things. The Lord's Supper, for instance. Or we sing and sing and sing. They don't want to sing. They don't know. And we're sitting here saying, hallelujah. We've got to go out. We're the insider. They're the outsider. This poor paralyzed guy was the outsider. And the only way that he could get was for somebody to get him to Jesus. And that's what they did. I can imagine him arguing with him. No. Go back and just tell me what that man's saying. I've heard he's good. Yeah, I've heard he's a healing person. But you go back. Just go back. I'll be embarrassed. I'm not dressed, obviously, right? And you'll have to carry me. I'll be embarrassed. All kinds of excuses. But bold, daring faith goes through excuses. Your friend will give you every excuse in the book why he should or she should not go with you. But you've got to say, I'm going to keep at it. The yes of God is working in his or her life and they don't even know it. I picked that scripture up. Nothing more than probably a heavy blanket. Picked up the corners and off they went. He was probably saying, no. Listen, yes. You see, you've got to have a yes. It's bigger than the no. And they got there. I don't know if our area of the day, whatever that is, will be filled up or not, and you'll have trouble. God will bring who he wants to bring, but he wants to use you. And you have to be a figure. You have to kind of think, okay, what if I have to bring my friend? If there's an overflow, even maybe I can, whatever. But I want my friend to hear about Jesus. Bold and daring faith. Faith that refuses to say, I'm going to go through the problem. Now, when they got there, they had a, that was an A plan. Now they had to have a B plan. But they already had that B plan because they knew that if they could not get him into the house, the B plan would be to get the ladder, which might have been against the house, or the steps that were built to go up on a flat roof, clay roof, dry clay, straw over the top of it. They could go in the cool of the evening and cool down and look at the lake and see the people. Whatever it was, whether it was a staircase or whether it was, but they tugged up and brought their friend up on the roof, and I can imagine him saying, you're gonna drop me. You're gonna do that? Don't please just think it. No, save me. No, we gotta get you to Jesus. And when they got up there, they had a seaplane. How do you get him down? You gotta break a hole in the roof. They must have had a big stone. I don't know. But they began to pound away in the middle of that roof, and the roof began to cave in a little bit. And then they began to pull back that dry clay. Now, that was happening up there. Can you imagine what was going on downstairs? Huh? Yeah, people were moving back, looking up. Maybe the owner of the house said, I just had that roof fixed. Who dares tear my roof up? The yes people. People like you. They had never imagined they would do something like that in their life. But God drew them, made them conscious, get him to Jesus. Get my friend, your friend, to my Jesus. You wonder, they were scooting back, drift in the dirt, the sunlight was coming down. What was Jesus doing? Come on, you've got an imagination. I think he backed up a little bit, even more, maybe in the corner. Folded his arms, not in disbelief. Okay, I want to see what they were doing. That's my boss. You see, when you're acting in faith, you're the boys, you're the girls of Jesus Christ. You're doing what he's commanded, following you. And he's asked you to do something. Now, what was it? I think he smiled. Why? Because the Bible says, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. And when you are pleased, what do you do? Smile. I think he smiled. He said, I want to watch this. And they just kept ripping that up. Finally got a hole big enough to get. Oh, they even had a rope system. They had planned. If there's a no, we've got a yes. Because our Heavenly Father has told us yes. And we're not going to stop until we get our friend to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I think he looked up in the beautiful eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 8 is so significant. Verse maybe 5 or 8. Here's what it says. Jesus looked up. When he saw their faith. Hey. Not his faith. I like that. Their faith. The yes. The bold, daring, refusing to take no kind of faith. Even the faith, the grain size, kind of tiny. That's where some of you are. Some of you got bigger faith, bolder faith. Some of you say, I've never done anything like this. You can. Through him, who will energize you and who will work in you to do his good will. He saw their faith. He said to the man, your sins are forgiven. I was 8 years old when I had that said to me. I didn't understand it. This guy probably didn't understand it, but he did discover that there was something changing inside. They could not see, the people around him could not see what was going on, but inside something was happening to that man. Because when your sins are forgiven, they are removed as far as the east is from the west, and that will never happen, it will never meet. They're buried in the deepest ocean. They're forgiven. Everything, maybe that man was paralyzed because of something he did, a sin in his life that caused the paralysis, I don't know. But sin also had infected the world. My child died with cancer, leukemia. I didn't blame God. There's a cancer curse in this world because of man that said no to God in the beginning. Here he is. Your sins are forgiven. Nothing else had happened. That would have been fantastic. And the greatest thing that could happen maybe to you today is to say, Lord, I need forgiveness. I want to say a divine yes to a divine heavenly Father who loves me and sent his Son who died on the cross, shed his blood, raised him to life, knocking on my heart. I'm willing to say yes to you. And you're life and forever, here and there. Transform. Your sins are forgiven. But there were some that looked upon him and said, hey, only God can forgive sin. Who is this? He's blaspheming. He's taking the name of the Lord and blaspheming. Only God can do that. Jesus knew your heart. He knows your heart. He knows everything you do, everything you think. You and he loves you even better. Don't ever forget that. He loves you. God loves you. and he wants to help you, wants to change your life,
you'll have that opportunity.
Jesus said, I know what you're thinking. And then they attended translation. He said, let me ask you something. Is it easier for me, for God to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? And immediately they said, you know, it takes God to do that. Either. Yeah, big time. Yeah, got that. Jesus said, that you might know that I'm the Son of Man. This is one of the greatest significant things Jesus said. I want you to know that I am the Son of God. I say to you, that man probably blinked his eyes a little bit. Jesus looked at him and said, take up your bed. Get up. Take up your bed. Walk. We don't have time, but I love you, y'all. Can you imagine suddenly a burst of energy, something that he had not had for years? His spinal, and his neck kind of popped. He turned his neck a little bit, it popped, and he was straight suddenly, and his shoulders were straight, and he began to press down on the floor, and hey, there were some muscles that had not been there, and he propped himself up, and pretty soon he was standing up, and to the gasp of everybody there, he picked up that mat that he was lying on, and I think he threw it over his shoulder. He's in disbelief, but he's yeah, I'm walking. I'm alive. And he walked out a free man. Because when the Son of Man sets you free, you are free indeed. Set free from sins. Set free to a new life. Set free to the yes that God has for you in your life. And when you write that person's name down, you're expressing your beginning faith. You're asking God to help you. Build that relationship so that you can say, would you come and go with me to that festival that we're going to have? It's going to be an awesome event. And if they go forward, you can go with them. I encourage you to be a counselor and an encourager. All of you should do that. It will be a yes that you've never imagined God could do in your life, so don't miss the possibility of getting that new Christian Life Witness course under your belt. And trust me. It just might be your friend who set free. See me down in the council area and say, yes. Yes. God. That is it. All the promises of God are yes. In Him for you. Amen. Let's pray together. If you have never said yes to Jesus Christ, you've never prayed a very simple prayer, I invite you to do that this morning. I'll lead you in it. You pray in your heart, and then you can confess with your mouth by telling your pastor, telling someone, I received Christ this morning. And yes. Yes to you. Heavenly Father, bless this moment. Speak to the hearts. And there as you sit, if you want that yes for salvation, you can say something like this, dear God, I know that I am a sinful person. We've all sinned. I know that. You sent your dear son, Jesus, to pay the price for my sin. I know that. Your word tells me that. I've never asked you to come into my heart, but I do that this morning. Dear Jesus, with all of my heart, I welcome you into my life. I receive you by faith.
I'm saying yes to you today. Right now. In Jesus' name.
Pacific and to the whole world. We pray that you begin the work within our heart